Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Here we go. Happy Monday. How you doing? Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Spencer on Sports back with you. This May 11th edition of the program. 319-366-1600. That is the talk line and the text line both open for you here this afternoon. Like always, got a full two-hour show today. Our only one of the week. I'll tell you kind of the weekly plan, the plan of the week later on before 6 because we got some early Cubs games. I have some time off. So kind of a choppy week. It's okay, though. It happens. We're here, though, hanging out. 319-366-1600. Lots to look back on today. We got some news today out of Iowa City, a topic we breached a couple times here on the program, but officially made official. Ben McCollum getting a contract extension from the University of Iowa. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. We got WNBA action. Caitlin Clark's return to the court to talk about Kate Martin also speaking about her new home in the WNBA, which we'll get to before 5 o'clock. Also on the way, your Monday MVP and LVP. Your nominations are welcome for our weekly awards from the weekend. Who had the best and worst weekend in sports? We will talk about those and more coming up before 5 o'clock. Also going to debut it's a new-ish segment. We've done a variation on this a couple different times, but I'm calling it the MLB Hot or Not List. Talk about what's going on in Major League Baseball. Do that a little bit after 5:10 tonight here on the show. Also going to take a look at the NBA Draft Lottery. Producer Isaac has, I'm sure, a lot to say about that. I know he does because he's wearing Utah Jazz jersey, just like he was for Friday's show. We'll hear a lot about the Utah Jazz. I can't complain about the Bucks because they didn't go down. They didn't go up, didn't go down. That's perfectly fine. But we'll talk about that. But the rumor mills are spiraling already for my favorite team. We'll talk about that before 6 as well. Sports menu on the way, kind of a lighter night in sports. We got playoff action in both the NBA and NHL and a handful of baseball games. Cubs in action tomorrow. Cardinals in action tomorrow, too. White Sox and Brewers and Royals all in action tomorrow. Everybody's in action tomorrow. So we got a quiet night in Major League Baseball, quieter night in Major League Baseball, which we'll get to before 6 as well. 319-366-1600. That is the talk line and text line as we're back with you here on this Monday afternoon. Isaac's here. How was the weekend for you?
Good. Sunday was probably one of the higher moments of my Jazz fandom, I guess I would say.
First time in history
moving up. Didn't move up to 1 or anything, but I don't know. Don't want to get too greedy. 2 is all right. Having your pick, I think it's going to be between A.J. Devonta and Darren Peterson. Whichever of those two is left that the Wizards don't take. I've seen both players mocked at 1. I would prefer A.J. just because like he's familiar with Utah.
Right.
Stay there for a little bit longer. But yeah, I mean, it was a good weekend. Saw some fun hoops. There was some crazy stuff in the Timberwolves game. That I really didn't see coming. It was a pretty fun sports weekend.
It certainly was. I was busy most of the weekend, running errands and stuff, but did get a chance to. For those of you that own your own home and have for a long time. I know you don't, but like for me, like we just bought a house. Mrs. Spencer at Sports and I bought a house in October. And so October is, you know, mid-fall, but then the weather changes, it gets colder. You got maybe a couple 60, 70-degree days at random in there, but it gets cold, it starts to snow. You know, you don't get much time to enjoy outside. Well, we were gifted a patio set, one of those kind of hand-me-downs. We're in, like, the hand-me-down stage of life where, you know, parents, whatever, they don't want this stuff anymore. So they're like, hey, we upgraded, do you want this? So that's been put out, and while she did some yard work yesterday, I just sat on our patio, and it was nice. I had the Brewer game going on my phone. You know, it was a good afternoon. I'm reading, and I just started reading an interesting book this weekend. I got a guest actually special preview for a couple weeks out. The author of this book, it's about the first MLB All-Star game, and really interesting stuff. It kind of weaves into the times of the Great Depression and FDR, and I'm not a huge political fan, but I'm a history nerd. And so when you can weave sports into the story of the times and American history, it's kind of fun. It's like 400-some pages, so I hope I finish it by the date that I have the author on the show. But it was, what I'm saying was the lesson here is that yesterday was a very nice day. It was a very nice weekend period to get out and enjoy Eastern Iowa, enjoy the corridor. I was in Marion for a little bit on Saturday, and then yesterday running around doing a number of different things that needed to get done, some returns. I had to get a bunch of shopping done and then a couple hours outside. So I did watch sports. I probably could have watched more, but sometimes you need to separate yourself, right, from things?
Yeah, I mean, every summer there's a couple weekends I go camping and just totally
unplug.
Like, I don't even watch any sports, totally unplug. I'll just bring a book and, like, food and things to drink and stuff like that and just chill for a weekend just because I think during the summer it's easier for us to kind of just – mentally,
yes,
go blank.
Remove
I guess it's
kind
of how I phrase it. It's just totally like just nothing on the brain, just whatever's right in front of me.
We still have to be on for the show, but at times you watch the important stuff, but you don't have to be as locked in as you are during football season. That is for sure. 319-366-1600. How was your weekend? Let us know on the text line. Talk line open as well. Get to your texts and your Monday MVP and LVP nominee is here in just a little bit. Let's get things going, though, with some hoops talk to begin the program.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
Ah, yes, the Monday coming back. Looking back on a busy weekend in sports. 319-366-1600. Let's start the program. I'm going to use the breaking news little thingy we play here. We've talked about this. Well, we talked about this last week. We talked about it once before. But the news made official today from the University of Iowa Athletics Department. Ben McCollum, the head coach of the men's basketball team at the University of Iowa, officially signing a contract extension through 2032. A news coming out today via a press release and put out by athletic department head Beth Getz earlier today. Getz saying in the statement, quote, "The extension reflects not only our recent success, but the strong alignment we have with Coach McCollum's vision for Iowa basketball, the culture he and his staff have developed, the way they represent our institution, and the connection created with the Hawkeye community have been incredibly meaningful." Getz saying further that she has tremendous confidence in the direction they are headed under Ben's leadership and that they're excited to continue that momentum and pursue even greater success together. McCollum adding later on that they have a strong foundation in place, great momentum moving forward, eager to build on our success and elevate the program at the highest level. Of course, Iowa going to the Elite Eight for the first time in 39 years. We've talked all about the reasons why he was deserving of a contract extension. On last week's show, we talked about, why do you do this after one season? It makes sense, because you want your guy to be there for a while. You have schools like North Carolina, and this was just on Friday's show, I think. Man, it shows you how maybe disconnected I was over the weekend. This was on Friday's show. We were talking about reasons for extensions, why you want to make sure that your guy is locked in, you believe in him, the success they're having, the program trajectory, stuff like that. It makes sense to do this. In terms of financials, kind of piecing together the puzzle here from a couple of our media colleagues, Scott Docterman from The Athletic and Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register. Scott Docterman relaying on X that the 6-year contract extension, by the way, that's an important piece to the puzzle too. It goes through 2032 for Ben McCollum, but his 6-year contract extension guarantees him $4.5 million in year one through $5 million in year six. There are, of course, performance and academic bonuses. So they get to the Sweet 16, they get to the NCAA tournament, they get to the Elite Eight, Final Four, stuff like that. There will be bonuses for that. The buyout, the payout, according to Docterman on X, if he's fired within the first 3 years of the deal, the payout is 80%. Final 3 years is 60%. The buyout, starts at $5 million before April 1st of next year, then works down to $0 in the final year. For reference, McCollum made $3.35 million plus bonuses last year. So about $4.5 million in year one, and then that's up from $3.35 million. So pay raise, get the bonuses, you get the additional years on it. All in all, a fair deal. I mean, I'm not a contract expert, a legal expert by any means. I just know, Isaac, this is a smart move. Like we talked about last week, you know, people are kind of pointing to the buyout, right? $5 million. We talked about buyouts last week and a little bit. The buyout is the buyout. It is what it is, but you have a coach that you believe in, a coach that you can see leading this program for a long time and you know wants to lead this program for as long as possible. You have him locked up through 2032, and that's the most important thing. If you're Iowa, you're not going to likely lose him anytime soon to one of those bigger schools, the Blue Bloods, like we talked about moving forward. So I think it's the right move. I don't think there's anything more we need to say. Any thoughts on the buyout or the money or just what we know about his contract extension that was made official today?
No, I think it all looks pretty good. I mean, maybe I would have liked a little bit higher of a buyout, and I don't like that the buyout necessarily decreases, but I think the idea is if he's doing well, they're probably going to put a new contract out anyway, where the buyout might stay level or something like that. So the buyout, although maybe, like, I don't love that the later it gets, the lower
cheaper
the number it is, but again, I think they'll probably renegotiate that before it gets, like, too worrisome, or at least that's the hope, is that they'll renegotiate by then and he'll have another contract in hand. So all the numbers look pretty good. Length is awesome. 6 years is great. And yeah, the buyout, first year for $5 million, then $4 million, like the first couple years are going to be high numbers for him, so that should sort of deter that before you really have to start renegotiating a new contract.
It gives a chance to build too, right? I think that's the biggest thing, is, you know, I mean, schools can swoop in with money at any point in time, or at least the offer of money at any point in time, or the offer of prestige and grandeur and whatever. But you look at, you know, a situation like that, like, it gives him time to build on the success they had. That's something we talked about, you know, even if they had just only beaten Clemson this past year in the tournament and lost to Florida, you know, the Elite Eight run doesn't happen, it's still a solid foundation, still made the tournament. The hope is it's a springboard for year two, year three, year four. Because that buyout is what it is, because the contract is what it is, you now have kind of that extended kind of runway, if you will, for takeoff. And the hope is, right, you get the right pieces in place. You know, this year might be slightly better record-wise, but it might not have the same tournament success, right? We don't know what this year's going to look like. It looked like it's only May 11th, obviously, but there's any number of combinations that could happen coming up here in the 2026-27 season. So you got to ensure you have that runway for success. You don't want to just kind of sit on your hands and go, well, we hope nobody takes him. We're ready to make a competitive offer if somebody does. You could play that game all you want, but having that security, having that peace of mind, not only for the coaching staff, but also for recruiting, right? Both portal and high school recruiting, having all that just makes a ton of sense. And it makes sense to reward success. And that's the long and short of it, in my opinion. 319-366-1600, your thoughts on the official news for Ben McCollum and his contract. That news announced today, again, through 2032, the extension put out by the University of Iowa. Let's stick with hoops here, because not the only Iowa hoops-related story from the weekend. This one, it's a pro story, but also tied to Iowa, the return of Caitlin Clark to the WNBA court. It's clear, I didn't see it. I watched a good chunk of the game. I wasn't able to see all of it because of running errands and stuff like that on Saturday. But the thing that stood out to me just in what I watched of that game, it's going to take maybe a little bit of time for her to get back to being Caitlin Clark. And some will, well, you're making excuses for her. No, I'm not. I'm realistic about this. Started off slow, 20 points in the game, She had to leave for a couple different times because of back tightness or getting her back adjusted. She talked about that in one of the clips we'll play here in just a moment. Shot just 39% overall, 2 for 9 from three. The Fever as a whole defensively needs some work. Scored 104 points. Hey, that's really good. Scoring 104 points in your opener. Giving up 107 to Dallas, who's got some talented players on that team. Arike Ogunbowale, of course, Paige Bueckers as well, along with others on that squad. You're encouraged by some things. You're disappointed in some things. I'm not ready to push the proverbial panic button after one game. I never am. That's not what some people want to do. They want to exaggerate and overrate and say, this is the worst thing ever. She's never going to return to her Iowa form. And I'm not ready to say that just yet because it was one game. She again, hadn't played in, what was the number I saw, 296 days? That's a long time to not play competitive basketball, and I don't care about the preseason. The preseason is the preseason. It's a tune-up, right? It's scrimmaging. It's a game, but it's not a game. Okay, it's valuable work, but it's not the true lights are on, this game counts kind of competitiveness, right? So was it a world-stopping, show-stopping performance? No, but you win as a team and you lose as a team, and Caitlin Clark is an important part of that team. She's an important part of the league, obviously, and I'm willing to, and I think 99.9% of people out there are willing to say, okay, yep, we'll see how this carries over from game one to game two, from game two to game three, from game three to game four, and so on and so forth. But slow start, and it still ended up with 20 points in true Caitlin Clark fashion. Kelsey Mitchell was Kelsey Mitchell, 30 points on the night, and then Aaliyah Boston with 23, as the Fever do end up losing by three in that one. Did you see any of the game on Saturday? What did you make of her return, number one, and just what you saw from the team as a whole for the Fever?
Yeah, I think there's still some chemistry stuff to work out just because the roster is pretty different, and she didn't get to work under Stephanie White's like offensive system, work with the coaching staff a whole lot last year because just because she didn't play a ton last year. I agree with you defensively. The Fever look rough, and it's probably just gonna be the reality. Caitlin Clark, for everything that she's good at defensively, still not great. And Kelsey Mitchell, size-wise, just she's not really built to be a great defensive player. They can have like good hands and kind of read passes and force steals, but steals don't equal good defense sort of thing. So it's just the nature of that backcourt. I think it's not a great defensive pairing back there. So that's probably just going to be an issue with when those two are out there at the same time. But it's going to take a minute for her to get back into shape, get used to the physicality again without pushing it too hard, because soft tissue injuries are weird and can continue to pop up and can be tough to kind of just get away from. So I'm a little concerned about health stuff for her, but ultimately not too concerned about what I saw on the court, because I think there's just some things to work out as the season progresses. But I do think defensively the Fever are going to be not great for a while until they kind of figure out how they can use Caitlin and Kelsey at the same time defensively and make it not look too bad.
Here is Caitlin Clark after the game. Again, 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds in the 3-point loss on Saturday afternoon over in Indy. Caitlin Clark talking about her return and just how she's feeling after game one.
Yeah, I feel good. Started off a little slow, I think, just the anxiety of the first game, you know, trying to work through that. But overall, I felt good, felt fast out there. Felt like I was literally a couple buckets away from putting together a really, really good game and helping us win. But our offense is obviously not the issue. We're perfectly fine on offense, and there's still so many things we can do better on that end of the floor. But, I mean, you got to give Dallas credit. They're really good. You know, they shot the ball incredibly well. Really, the only quarter we put together was the third. I guess in the fourth we were fouling. So, you know, figured it out a little bit there in the third. We just got to be able to do that a little more consistently. But it was a great test. It was a great game. You know, our locker room was positive afterwards. So we're not going to hang our heads. We're going to to move forward. A lot to be proud of and a lot to learn from, too. So it's only one of 44. We got a long ways to go.
Only one of 44. That is definitely an important thing to take away from her perspective. Obviously, she's the one playing the games. We're the ones talking about it. But, yeah, one of 44. It's way too early to make blanket assumptions on how the season is going to go, but they need to show that improvement, that's for sure. And the head coach of the Fever, Stephanie White, she had this to say just about how she noticed the defense struggling to slow down the Dallas Wings on Saturday afternoon.
We got to be more disciplined. You know, the difference in their uncontested looks from three and our contested looks from three. Sometimes we were over-rotated when we didn't need to be. Sometimes we had coverage breakdowns, you know, unnecessarily. We are hanging around, not going to the offensive boards, but not getting back in transition defense. We gave up a lot in transition. So, it, you know, all correctable things. Fouling shooters, like fouling jump shooters, you know, all detail-oriented things. And it's just an area that we got to continue to grow. We're not going to be able to outscore teams in this league. Everybody's too good. You got to defend at multiple positions, and teams expose you if you're undisciplined. So we've just got to be better. We know that. And the good thing is that it's all correctable.
And Stephanie White talking about some of the positives from Saturday's game.
I mean, I like our pace. Again, going back to us as a staff and our substitutions, if we want to maintain it for 40 minutes, we got to be better there in the second half in particular. I like that we got to the free throw line, and part of that is that look, they're calling it, you know, really, and we're going to get there. But I thought we left some opportunities at the table because we were in the penalty in the fourth quarter early, and we stopped attacking. And we got to be mindful of that. 22 points off of turnovers. I think when we did defend and have discipline and details on the defensive end, we were able to get out in transition. So I like all of that. We're going to clean up execution. It's going to take some time with some of the pieces that we have, but I like those things.
Fever head coach Stephanie White there, 319-366-1600. Talking a little hoops to begin the program here, both some college basketball and the WNBA. You heard her mention the contested versus uncontested threes. Dallas from three was really the difference of the game. Shot 52% on Saturday, 12 of 23. Their high water mark was three three-pointers each. Arike Ogunbowale and then Aziza James each with three. In that game, which helped them win the basketball game. Fever just 7 of 24 from distance for 29%. So three-point shooting, certainly a difference there in that game. Both Kelsey Mitchell and Caitlin Clark had the high watermark with two each. So a little bit different for both sides there. But Fever back at it coming up here later on this week. In fact, they play here on Wednesday at Los Angeles at 9:30 at night. Sparks had an interesting weekend this weekend. Sparks losing to the Aces yesterday. And then the Aces got blown out the day before by Phoenix. So kind of a weird start, wonky start for a lot of teams. But again, one of 44. So two of 44 in some cases. So not too much you can overreact to, but certainly room for improvement. That is for sure. Speaking of the Sparks, one of the big stories from late last week, at least here in Iowa, a lot of people reacting to, a lot of people voting with their social media follows too, with Kate Martin getting released by Golden State. She was picked up developmental contract by the Los Angeles Sparks. So you have to imagine, you know, a developmental contract is essentially, it's kind of like the G League, except you're on the res, not a league, but you have a developmental spot on the roster. So you're not like a full-time player with the team, but you're developing, right? You're given the opportunity to practice and observe and you kind of hone your skills for the team that you're with. Kate Martin talked about right before the game yesterday for Los Angeles, talking about why she chose to sign with Los Angeles. Really could have gone anywhere. A lot of rumors swirling when she got waived by Golden State that, hey, she might head to Indiana. The Clark and Martin show might be back on our TV screens, back on the court again. But that's not what happened here this past week. Ended up staying out in California and going with LA.
I chose LA because of the way they approached me. They wanted me here, and you know, I had really good talks with Coach Roberts. I had really good talks with Reagan, the GM, and I felt really confident in my decision. The way they approached me, the way they, you know, thought I would fit into this system, and so I just feel honored for the opportunity, and opportunities don't always come around in this league. And so for the year that I got cut to be a year where there are development spots, I feel very grateful for that. And so my job now is just to buy in and to make the most of my opportunity.
And Martin talking about her expectations as she steps into that development role, into that development spot with the Spurs.
I think just right now my expectations for myself are to buy into being an LA Spark. I know that roles are ever-changing throughout the season, but right now I'm going to be where my feet are, and I'm going to buy into this role as a development player. I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, and I'm just going to make the most of this opportunity. That's my expectations right now.
Kate Martin, the former Hawkeye, former Las Vegas Ace, and Golden State Valkyrie. She is now on the Los Angeles Sparks on a development deal. I would not be surprised if she sees, I mean, injuries happen, right? You need an experienced guard, right, that can give you some minutes. She might not score 38 points or whatever in a game, but you need someone who can step in and be a warm body, right, who can fill the spot of an injured player. I wouldn't be surprised if she got some minutes here as the season went on for Los Angeles, or maybe she ends up with a different team. I don't know how it's going to play out, but she was pretty emotional. The video circulated on social media, and right, so she was with Las Vegas, got chosen in the expansion draft by Golden State, had really carved out a home there. She was a fan favorite too in Golden State, and I mean it's a business, but when you feel like, you know, you're kind of a key piece to the puzzle, you get unceremoniously kicked to the curb. That's tough in any industry. Radio, accounting, basketball, right? You feel like you're a key piece to the puzzle and things don't work out, but you land on your feet, and it sounds like she's excited for the opportunity. A lot of former teammates from either Vegas or from Unrivaled that she's able to connect with to kind of ease that sudden jarring transition. So certainly will be interesting to see how that plays out for her. But Kate Martin in the news as well this week. All right, 319-366-1600. We'll get to our Monday MVP and LVP coming up here in just a bit. Who had the best and worst weekend in sports? A lot of different ways you can go with it. Love to hear your nominations. We are still wondering if we can send out a certificate. I have not been given the okay to do that. I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know why this is getting delayed. I may have to do it on my own dime, which I don't have many dimes to my name right now, but if I have to do it, I will. But we will award this week's Monday MVP and LVP coming up in just a bit. Your nominations welcome. 319-366-1600. We continue here on a Monday edition of Spencer on Sports on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Skies will be turning partly cloudy as we head later on into tonight. Temperatures will drop back to around 50 degrees. We'll see increasing chances for showers throughout the morning on Tuesday. The rest of the day will be partly cloudy with warm temperatures. Highs will reach around 80 degrees. For Tuesday night, skies will continue to clear out. We'll be mostly clear with overnight temperatures in the upper 40s. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies. Temperatures will be a little bit cooler, though, with a high around 70. And that was a check of your Weather First forecast. I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks.
Thanks, Kason. Some clouds rolling in, as we can see here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, but overall still a very nice afternoon. 68 in Cedar Rapids, and it's 70 in Iowa City from 1600 ESPN.
Progressive presents ways to save money that aren't bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive.
Thanks again for taking me to the game, man. I can't wait to get in there. By the way, what's in the bag?
Oh, I bring my own hot dog and peanuts. Saves a ton.
Ah, savvy. And what about the beach chairs?
Why buy seats when you can save big and bring your own?
We can't get in without tickets.
Tickets? What do you think the portable TV is for?
Don't save money pretending to go to the game. You could save hundreds by switching to Progressive. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
It's Rich Eisen for Pella Windows and Doors. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. Right now, Pella Windows and Doors of Eastern Iowa is offering 40% off installation or 0% APR for 12 months. Some restrictions may apply. See store for details. Offer ends May 31st, 2026.
Iowa Farm Bureau. Ag trade is changing fast. Decisions made today will shape Iowa agriculture for decades. Global markets are shifting, tariffs are evolving, and geopolitical pressures continue. For Iowa farmers and agribusiness leaders, the stakes have never been higher. Iowa Farm Bureau's 2026 Economic Summit brings together the insight you need in one powerful day. Hosted by Tyne Morgan and featuring leading economic experts like former U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Bob Lighthizer, who will share perspectives on fair trade and the U.S. trade agenda. We'll also explore the full spectrum of ag trade, from global policy to on-farm impact. You'll hear where U.S. trade efforts should focus next, where future demand for U.S. ag products may emerge, and how Iowa agriculture can position itself for success. Join us on July 17th at the FFA Enrichment Center in Ankeny. Don't miss out on early bird savings. Register by May 31st and save 50%. Pricing is $25 for Farm Bureau members and $200 for non-members. Learn more at iowafarmbureau.com.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports back for a Monday afternoon. Hanging out till 6 tonight. Cubs baseball back on our airwaves tomorrow. Cubs and the Atlanta Braves. Really important series. Two of the hottest teams in baseball, period, right now. Braves just took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. Cubs lost a series to the Rangers, but still 2 10-game win streaks sitting atop the National League Central. 2 10-game win streaks in this season, sandwiched with some losses in between, but been a really good start to the season for both teams. Should be an exciting series. 3 games down at Truist Park in Atlanta. We'll have all 3 games on the Cubs Radio Network and right here on 1600 ESPN starting tomorrow night. 5:40 tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Then it's the battle for Chicago this weekend. Cubs and White Sox coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. More on those games. We'll talk a little baseball coming up in about 30-ish minutes or so. I got the MLB Hot or Not list. Going to debut that coming up after 5:10 tonight here on 1600 ESPN. Let's get into one of our Monday staples. It's where you can help us out and nominate who had the best and worst weekend in sports. Time for the Monday MVP.
They're the best.
The best!
Tell them again.
The best!
I like it.
The best of the best.
Who had the best and worst weekend in the sports world? 319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports. Take your nominees for Monday MVP and LVP. Best and worst, simple as that. If you've got someone who you just think deserves our weekly award, 319-366-1600. All right, we got a lot of different ways we can go. I'm sure Isaac has a couple. I've got more MVPs than LVPs here this weekend. That's usually surprising because I'm a very cynical person. I like to poke fun at people. And like, oh man, this dude was having a bad time this week. I only have one, and we'll get to it. I don't want to spoil it. I think the rationale for what this person did, I don't know, is sound, but at the same time, I don't know. We'll talk about it. But MVP-wise, a number of different ways you can go. I wrote down a couple from the basketball world that I think we can point to. First of all, Anthony Edwards deserves an MVP nod for his performance last night in Game 4. 36 points, 16 of those in the fourth quarter, coming in that Game 4 win over the Spurs. It's his 10th 35-point playoff game. So impressive stuff. The Spurs, maybe they could be the LVP. They're not on my list, but Wemby throwing the elbow, getting ejected. We'll talk about that here momentarily. But I think Anthony Edwards deserves an MVP nod. I'm going to nominate the Knicks as well, the Knicks as a whole, because after that Game 6, or after the loss to Atlanta, right, they lost a couple games in that series to the Hawks. They've been on a mission. They really refocused their eyes on the prize. I guess you can use that to describe how the Knicks have been playing. But the Knicks, as a whole, they swept the Sixers with a big win yesterday. They put up the most points in franchise history, 144 points against the Knicks. That surpassed the 140 they scored versus Atlanta in game six of the first round. And they've outscored their opponents by 194 points this postseason. That's incredible stuff right there. So I think the Knicks as a whole, you can the team MVP here, the MVP as a team. I'll go to hockey as well. The Carolina Hurricanes are 8-0 to start the postseason. And I'm sure Justin out there in listener land will have some thoughts to share with us on the text line at 319-366-1600. But the Carolina Hurricanes sweeping their way through the first two rounds of the postseason. As competition steps up, we'll see how they do. But Carolina is a very good hockey team. I can say that with full confidence, as you know, a guy that's not necessarily the most hockey, hockey intelligent person. Going 8-0 combined in your two playoff series that you've played, that's pretty good. That's a good start to the year. I think that's how things could be framed for them. So I will go with those. I think, if we have to nominate an individual, I think you go Anthony Edwards. I think the Knicks or Hurricanes team-wise, the Knicks for sure is kind of where I'd go team-wise. If we're giving out separate certificates here this week, our MVP certificates, because the Knicks, right, they could have let Philadelphia back in the series, but really this entire series, they left no doubt. They were the better team. Just play the game. We're going to dominate you. We're going to get out of here. We're moving on to the next round. They're back in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they're going to win the Eastern Conference. I picked them to win the Eastern Conference. I'm doubting Detroit again. Shame on me for doing that. But the way the Knicks are playing, it's just incredible. So those are my nominees. If I had to narrow it down to a couple for this week, who do you have MVP-wise, Isaac?
Yeah, so first I'm going to go specifically Marcus Rashford, but Barcelona beat Real Madrid over the weekend, El Clasico. The two most famous soccer clubs in the world going head-to-head, and Barcelona won. And I'm pretty sure they locked up the La Liga title a while ago. They're like really far ahead on Real Madrid in points. But you went there, and they had their parade today with the trophy celebration there. But Marcus Rashford specifically scored just an unreal free kick goal. Former Manchester United player, Marcus Rashford. And yeah, so him specifically, but Barcelona as a whole, anytime you win in that game, it means something. And then in MMA, Sean Strickland, although I may not like him on like a personal level, I don't like his like gimmick and shtick. I think it's just whatever. It's not what I'm about. That's how I'll put it.
Sure, sure.
He was a very heavy underdog to Khamzat Chimaev for the middleweight title and ended up winning. It was a very close decision. It was a split decision, so it literally could have gone either way. I thought Khamzat won, but there's certainly an argument to be made that Sean was the more active fighter and deserving a win. So, like, I can see how Sean got the decision win, but he was a massive underdog, ended up winning, and it was a pretty entertaining fight, so got to give him the nod too. Although, again, personally, not my favorite.
Sure. Totally understandable. You could recognize the accomplishment, but be like, I don't really like that guy. It's like that meme, heartbreaking, the worst person you know just made a great point. Seen that quite a bit lately these days. One other that I had on my list, and this is from Big Ten softball country, Megan Grant. You're like, who's Megan Grant? Of UCLA. UCLA, really good. In case you haven't noticed, UCLA has been really good at baseball and softball. They have been for a while now. But they've elevated the Big Ten and women's basketball, too. They've elevated the Big Ten in all those sports. Megan Grant this weekend of UCLA in the Big Ten tournament hit her 38th home run of the 2026 college softball season. That broke the previous record, Laura Espinosa of the University of Arizona. She hit 37 back in 1995. Grant hit her 37th back on the 8th of this month. The 8th was Friday against Wisconsin in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And then she hit number 38 this weekend. So 38 home runs in a season. That is pretty impressive. The Bruins as well, passing Oklahoma, the all-time team leader for home runs in a season. UCLA has 180 home runs this year. So you're matching up with UCLA. You better have your ace on the mound. Simple as that. 319-366-1600. We have a dual nomination from Ryan on the text line. Both MVP and LVP for Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler, Ryan says, for playing his way into contention, finishing second at the Truist Championship after firing three over in his first round. Ricky also the LVP for blowing prime opportunities in his final six holes to secure a win. I think that that's true. You can do both. You can have the a clutch hit to tie the game, but then also give up or drop the ball on a catch in the outfield. Right? You can do that. You can be the MVP and LVP at the same time. So thank you, Ryan, for that. Ricky Fowler, a dual nomination for the MVP and LVP. My LVP, and this is an interesting discussion, Kevin Pritchard of the Pacers getting some heat and got some heat when he traded a pick for Ivica Zubac this trade deadline. The Pacers in the lottery. He traded his 2026 first round selection with conditions, among other picks and players, to the Clippers in a deal centered around Zubac back in February. The first round pick had stipulations that if it landed between 5 and 9 in the lottery, it would go to the Clippers. The Pacers won 19 games this season. So, there's no way it lands at 5. We're going to get 4 or higher. Guess where it landed? 5. Guess where their pick goes? The Clippers. So now they're stuck with Zubac, who's a good player, but they could have had the number 5 pick in the draft. And you don't know how these guys are going to turn out. Maybe it's LeBron James. Maybe it's Darko Milicic. I don't know. But in the hindsight, I think you can nominate Pritchard for the LVP. Hindsight's 2020, right? You can nominate him for the LVP because he gambled as a team that was bad from the get-go. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton's been out the entire year. So they weren't going to do much. They got rid of Miles Turner. They wanted to get a big man to kind of, I don't know, not necessarily soften the blow, but kind of prep themselves for the future because they realized maybe trading Miles Turner was not the best idea, or letting Miles Turner walk was not the best idea. It ended up costing them big time. So instead of having a talented player at number 5 to add to their rotation, they gave up a bunch of assets. I know Benedict Mathurin was one of them, and ended up with basically nothing and did not have the 5th pick.
Yeah, literally worst case scenario for them.
Yes. Just total disaster. Dumpster
total,
fire.
Yeah, total. It's
panic,
really brutal.
Panic mode. Yeah.
Maybe not panic mode because you're banking on Halliburton coming back, and you're like, man, next year, hopefully we're good. Fans won't even care. That kind of is what my idea would be, but it is pretty disastrous, that outcome. Also, in the same vein, Sacramento dropping to, 7th? That was pretty rough, considering how bad they were all year. And They were actively tanking, but that final month they won, a few too many games, mm-hmm. and it slid them up a couple spots there, and now they're at 7th. And they lost the coin toss between them and the Jazz for the 4-5 tiebreaker, or what, 5-6 tiebreaker. I can't remember what it was, but they lost and now the Jazz are picking 2nd, and they're picking 7th. So that I think they also deserve a mention, although that was just really being unlucky and been there. My other LVP is on the other side of El Clasico, Real Madrid. I don't know what's going on exactly in that locker room, but it is apparently just totally breaking down. Like, they had players literally punching each other. Some of them had to go to the hospital for concussions after this fight. You had players apparently whispering behind their coaches' backs during, tactical meetings, saying to one another that the coach is stupid and he doesn't know what he's talking about, and players, straight up just leaving practice early, before it's done. I don't know what's going on in the Real Madrid locker room, but it's bad by everything that I've seen. And it's just totally split down the middle between one side and the other side. Or maybe there's also some players that just don't care at all, or they're there to get a paycheck or whatever. So that's my other LVP, is whatever disaster is going on in Madrid, Real Madrid.
Here is a clip from Kevin Pritchard, the Pacers president of basketball operations, talking about the trade that cost him the fifth overall pick. He had this to say. He was on the Pat McAfee show. Surprise, surprise. Indiana's own Pat McAfee talking about this. Here, let me make sure I have the clip ready to go. There we go.
Looked at each other during the draft lottery, and I go, man, this feels like game seven again. And it really did. And, you know, I'm not sorry about doing the trade. I felt like that was the right trade at the right time. What I felt for is Mr. Simon, like 37 years in the draft, or, you know, 37 years and not moving up once it's just tough. And I felt like we were due a little luck, and you have to take risk. Trading is the way you get players now, and you have to take some shots, and, you know, hopefully this one works out. We think it will.
That's Kevin Pritchard, my LVP nominee for the weekend. 319-366-1600. Still time to get your nominations in for the Monday MVP and LVP best and worst from the weekend in sports. We'll get to some more of your texts coming up in just a bit on 1600 ESPN.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Network Computer Solutions, Randy's Flooring, Grand Appliance, Onward Bank and Trust, Revival Theater Company, and 1600 ESPN.
The highly anticipated Golf Classic is back June 11th. Register your foursome now for Greater Iowa City Inc.'s big day of golf, networking, and friendly competition. Enjoy breakfast before the 10 a.m. shotgun start, 18 holes, course contest, a box lunch, and happy hour and awards when the tourney ends. Soak in a day on the links while you support Greater Iowa City Inc.'s mission of driving business growth, attracting investment, and building a stronger local economy. Register your foursome now at greateriowacity.com.
This is a special notice to U.S. taxpayers owing $10,000 or more to the IRS. Tax Relief Advocates is urgently notifying taxpayers that tax relief initiatives are now available that may significantly reduce or eliminate what you owe. If you're afraid of an IRS lien, levy, or wage garnishment, don't lose hope. You can now take advantage of these current relief programs to end all collections, reduce the amount you owe, and resolve your tax problem. Even if you have years of unfiled tax returns or are already in a payment plan, you may still qualify for significant relief. Struggling taxpayers can now get relief they need during these hard economic times. A hotline has been established by Tax Relief Advocates for you to call and see what you qualify for. They are A-plus rated with the BBB and have over 1,000 five-star reviews. Don't wait. Call 800-575-9087. 800-575-9087. That's 800-575-9087 or simply visit TRA.com.
Want to hear about his sports card collection? Of course you do. Now back to Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports back for a Monday afternoon. Hanging out till 6 tonight. Got ESPN Radio coming up after the show. Like I mentioned before, Cubs and Braves back on the airwaves tomorrow. Cubs baseball all season long here on 1600 ESPN. What you got over there?
We forgot to say one name for LVP, too.
We did.
Wemby, what the hell are you doing, man?
Oh, I thought you were...
what the heck are you doing,
yeah,
man?
You got to be smarter than that, and I understand. Like the Spurs are trying to frame it as frustration.